And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Rose.
What up, though?
I'm David Jacoby. And on the cool check-in, together we are Jalen and Jacoby.
Center stage on the mic.
Together we are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We can't put it on wax?
Come on, Jay.
What are you whining about?
Oh, no, we don't have the Beastie Boys clear.
Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah. Their commercial music we did not pay for.
I didn't know.
I'm sorry to
the
estate of MCA, Adam Horovitz and to Michael Diamond.
What up?
Jalen Rose, what do?
We give the people what they want.
So much to discuss. We haven't had a show since last Wednesday.
Yes.
So much has happened. Of course, we're going to talk about the big Sunday in the NFL, the Ravens and the 49ers, the Texans and the Patriots. We're going to talk about two men's athletic programs in Michigan University. There's two of them. One had a great weekend. One not so much. We're going to talk about Luka Doncic taking on the Lakers. Looking great. And we have a LaMelo Ball update. The Texans gave the Patriots all they could handle on Sunday Night Football. My guy, Deshaun Watson, had four touchdowns in the game against the Pats, one of which came from DeAndre Hopkins, a little pitch play. Jalen, did this performance from the Texans convince you that they're one of the top teams in the AFC?
Yes, they absolutely are. And we did tiers earlier in the year, and we talked about four teams that we felt like that were really legit in the AFC. And the Texans fall into that category, even without J.J. Watt. And that pass we just showed that he threw to Kenny Stills, that was just nasty.
After one just got taken back,
right,
too.
Right. Yeah. He's playing at a level when you start talking about the top quarterbacks in the league that are having amazing seasons. He belongs in that conversation. Deshaun Watson has been that special.
So a couple things. Number one, what I took away from this game more than the Texans being good was just how disjointed the Patriots offense looked. Mm-hmm. Like, this has been an ongoing thing that's been bubbling throughout the season. The defense carried them to a lot of wins and some of their easier schedule games. But when they came up against the Texans, Tom Brady just looked like out of sorts. He looked upset. It looked like him and his receivers were not on the same page. He's pointing at my namesake, Jacoby. He's like, Jacoby, go that way. Everybody saw it except for Jacoby. Right there. He's like, Jacoby, go that way. And then throws it to nobody. There was a lot of miscommunication and upset Tom Brady frustrated on the sidelines. This is a 10-2 team, but it doesn't feel like it right now at this point in the season. Is that fair to say?
Well, because they have a different expectation. Usually when teams are 10-2, we laud the part of the ball that's playing really well and figure that that can help carry them to Super Bowl glory. Well, since it's the Patriots and they've won so many Super Bowls, we try to pick apart and try to figure what they're not. And rightfully so. James White has been a workhorse out of the backfield, catching it down the field. But the thing that I'm still struggling to see is Sony Michel has not been effective running the football.
No.
They don't have a great offensive line. They don't have a balanced attack. They lean so much on Edelman, so much on James White. They don't have the speed on the outside. So it's not going to be a team that beats you in the ways that we're used to seeing them do it in the past.
No question I was asking myself, where's Mohamed Sanu? Where's Mohamed Sanu? Remember when they traded for him? Everyone's like, oh, look, now they got Mohamed Sanu. Exactly what they need. He's a vet. He's a route runner. He's big. This is going to be the perfect fit for this offense. What did he catch, like two balls yesterday?
And he's on my fantasy team.
I know. So you
I'm trying to tell you, Jacoby.
So you know.
Soon he got with Tom Brady. I was like, yes.
Hasn't panned out.
Dropping balls.
So before the game, I want to show you the entrance made into the stadium by the Texans linebackers. Okay. Take a look here. So they dress up every game. This time it was the SWAT team. Soft move or boss move, dressing up like the SWAT team before the game.
How about this? You're at an ATM. You turn around and see those guys coming. You don't want those problems.
No.
So that's got to be a boss move.
It's always a boss move until you get blown out. Like, I'm sure they dressed up before that Ravens game when they got blown out. Don't forget, they did get blown out by the Ravens.
They did.
But we weren't talking about what they dressed as in that
they
game.
They did.
But they weren't talking about that. Well, that was the latest game on Sunday, but the biggest game was between the Ravens and the 49ers. All football fans had this one circled. Everyone had this one circled. It did not disappoint. In a back-and-forth game between the 49ers and the Ravens, Lamar Jackson did his thing. Beautiful pass to tight end there in the rain. And then we have this. Make it look easy. Just makes it look easy. I'm just going to walk into the end zone untouched. And, of course, at the end of the game, it all comes down to a kick. Tucker, money, right down the middle. Big trust. Are you convinced, like I am, that the Ravens are the best team in the NFL right now?
I am convinced of that right now. But as I've been saying all year, for those of us who have seen football change over decades, it's refreshing to watch a team that does so many things that are different in the landscape of the game. Let me tell you a couple of them. One, they play four downs of football. You remember the time it was you played three downs and you did punt on fourth down?
Fourth and inches, let's punt.
They're going for all of those.
Yes.
They're going for all of those. They're using four downs to get 10 yards when usually teams use three downs.
They had a fourth and five, and Lamar Jackson didn't even look at the sideline. He was like, well, we're going.
That's one. The other thing, multiple linemen that they use. They got a 300-pound fullback. 300-pound fullback that they use. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Three tight ends.
And how about Lamar when he gets in open field? You see him break that dude's ankle? Like, he almost tore his ACL, the D-back. And so I just enjoy watching them have fun playing the game of football, and then all of a sudden, boom, Andrews up the field, up the seam, boom, hit him for a touchdown. So they have so many different ways to beat you, but I just love that they're for the culture. And again, when I'm watching them play, Jacoby, the first thing that stands out to me is they're playing different football than the other 31 teams.
Yes.
And that's almost impossible to do in today's landscape.
And it's not gimmicky. It's not like the Wildcats. I mean, it's not gimmicky because they can do a lot of different things. If they want, they can beat you deep. The conditions weren't really good for that yesterday. But also, they can run the ball. They can throw the ball. The quarterback can run the ball. There's so many times on quarterback keepers where it's like, the tailback turns into a lead blocker. It's not some RPO type of thing. It's just like, I'm running the ball. It's a design run for me. And they're more blockers than on any other play for any other team.
And they're physical.
Yes.
On both sides. And usually all of this is happening within the numbers. They're not, the only time they're on the outside is when Lamar's one-on-one against a linebacker or against a D-back, usually. Or when Mark Ingram finds a way to break loose. So I just enjoy watching that team play. And to answer your question, yes, they're the best team in football today.
We've talked about two 10-2 teams so far, the Patriots and the Ravens. And one, to me, is far superior to the other. Record's exactly the same, but the Ravens just seem like they're so much better put together for a playoff run than the Patriots right now.
But here's what I want to say about San Francisco. When I watched them play against the Ravens, two things came to mind that normally you don't see in a pass-happy NFL. The stats that I felt like that would decide the game. One, time of possession. Two, rush yards. Of all things, not passing yards. That's just a fun, that was just a fun game to watch.
It really was. And I know you love the Harbaugh. I know you love both Harbaugh brothers. And John Harbaugh, he got mixed up a little bit with another guy that we love, Richard Sherman, on the sideline. What do you think about this play? You'll see it. So we got, you know, it kind of comes to the sideline here, and this is what we're talking about. It seemed like it might have been
trying to get the call,
something like that.
Lamar,
so there you got Harbaugh's involved, and then they got him and Richard Sherman going back and forth about it. What do you feel about the head coach? Like, two of your favorite guys going back and forth in a big game.
When it's that cold outside and it's raining, and anybody touches you, you're gonna take it some type of way. That's all. It didn't matter who it was. It could have been Sherman's teammate. He would have been like, just get off me. And so I appreciate both of those gentlemen always being invested.
So you're talking about the tiers in the AFC. So far, we've discussed the Texans.
Check.
We've discussed the Ravens.
Check.
We've discussed the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't really talk about that much anymore.
Where my homies?
Where my homies? The Chiefs. The Chiefs are being slept on. They didn't just beat division rival the Raiders. They absolutely waxed the Raiders. It was not even close. Mahomes is running around. He's scoring touchdowns. He didn't have a huge day, but he didn't need to because their lead was so big. But are we sleeping on the Chiefs as a threat?
I don't think you can sleep on a Patrick Mahomes-led football team. It's just that he was injured early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
His ankle, then his knee. You're not seeing Tyreek Hill get the 50 to 75-yard bombs hitting his head on the goalpost. So they're doing it in a different way. But here's a couple. It was great to see the Honey Badger get a pick, too.
Yeah.
One of the things I think that people are waiting to see from the Chiefs, can they get that run game in order? I've been talking about this all year.
They need to run it. They need to stop the run.
I've been talking about this all year. That, to me, can and or will be their Achilles heel if they don't find a level of balance with their offense.
It really is. Can they run the ball and can they stop the run? Those are the two things about the Chiefs. And you know, I was surprised by the way the Raiders played in this one.
Jacob still got 100 yards rushing.
I was surprised. Is he on your fantasy team too?
No.
Okay. No. Because yeah, usually when you have random stats like that, it's like fantasy related. Were you going against them?
I just be paying attention. Nah. Derek Carr had two picks. I always know the stats.
It is now time for Statue News. Jalen Rose.
Yes.
You are, if not the one of the best sports analysts in the entire game.
Thank you, sir.
But you are definitively the best statue analyst. So now we welcome to the show, senior statue analyst, not just of ESPN, but of the entire world, Jalen Anthony Rose.
Okay.
We have a statue that's gone up in Montgomery, Alabama. And that statue is of someone very important to the history of this country, Rosa Parks.
Wow.
Rosa Parks statue was unveiled in Montgomery, Alabama. There is Miss Parks in all her glory. Jalen Rose, senior statue analyst. What do you think about this statue?
I think that she's a legend. And though she was born in Alabama, she spent a large portion of her life in
where?
Detroit, Michigan. And I need to get a replica of that in this studio. Just like I have that Jada Kiss bus. I'm going to start working on that because all of the sacrifices that she made, the level of sacrifice that she gave of herself to go from being somebody that could have been considered ostracized for a lot of the stance that she chose to take in a country that we were still trying to get past racial inequality and segregation. And so I would be remiss if I don't have a replica of that statue in this studio,
you know,
to pay homage.
That would be really nice because then we could have a statue of Harriet, a picture of Harriet Tubman, a statue of Rosa Parks, and Jada Kiss. You know what I mean? There you go. Just three leaders right there.
Absolutely.
Three leaders. Jalen Rose, sometimes we rely on you and your experience in an NBA locker room to take us behind the curtain. Let's go. You said that James Harden could score 90 points this season.
And you know what's funny? People think I'm saying it because I want people to forget that Kobe scored 81
on us. Oh, no, I said that. That's what I said.
But that don't mean that that didn't happen.
But look,
that's idiotic.
It almost came to fruition. James Harden had 60 points against the Hawks in just 31 minutes and did not play in the fourth quarter. So what I need you to do is this.
Okay.
Take us behind the curtain. If you're the coach, Mike D'Antoni, and you see that your player is 2 points away from his career high, but you have a commanding lead, do you put him back in the game to let him cook a little bit more?
Not at all. Because
really?
If that guy gets injured, oh my goodness, you'd never be able to live it down. Especially they was up by 40.
It wasn't even close.
They was waxing the Hawks. So you don't put them back in the
but
game.
That's so practical, Jalen.
That's so decided. And then here's the other thing. You don't want the other team to feel like that you're trying to run up the score, so to speak, because then you get guys wanting to try to hurt them and stuff like that. When you're coaching a great player like this, I'm telling you, it was similar to the year when Kobe went off. He had a game against the Mavs. We played three quarters. I think he scored like 65 on them or something like that. And that was the precursor to his big game.
Hold on.
He erupted.
Hold on. Jalen, what happened to you? This sounds so logical, so practical, so conservative. I thought you were going to go the other way on this one.
You did?
Yes. You're 2 points away from your career high. Coach, let me get two buckets. I'll be right back next to you in three possessions.
Let me tell you something. James Harden is league pass must-see TV. He's going for 90 every night. If you look down at the stat sheet, taking 20 threes, 20 free throws.
It's going to be hard to be in a close game if you score 60 through three, though.
The night, I'm telling you. Each night, when you look down at the stat sheet, and James Harden shooting over 50 from three and over 55 or 60 from the floor overall and getting to the line 15 or 20 times, do the math. That's where I came with the numbers.
Talk about him being inefficient, but he was 16 for 24 from the field, 66%. 8 of 14 from three. I have no idea what percent that is, but
that's
like 60.
Over 50,
yeah, it's like 60. And he was 20 from 23 from the free throw line. It's like he shoots this much every day. He just had to be hot today.
Correct.
You know what I mean? But
correct.
I just wish the game was closer. I want to see him get 70 or something. Moving on. Huge game yesterday in the National Basketball Association between the Mavs and the Los Angeles Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
It was close. LeBron and AD were doing their thing in the first half. Luka was real cold in the first half. But then the second half happened.
It did.
Luka turned it around and finished the game with a near triple-double. And more importantly, him and his Mavericks got the win. Jalen Rose, did this game convince you the Mavericks can test the top teams in the West?
Not test the top teams in the West consistently, but it shows me why Rick Carlisle is regarded as one of the top coaches in the league.
Mm.
And he's won the championship with the Mavs. Look deeper into the box score. DeLon Wright, 17 points, 9 dimes. Powell playing big minutes up front.
Love Powell.
Catching lobs. I'm not even talking about KP.
Porzingis, yeah, he's been kind of quiet this
Tim
year.
Hardaway.
Low-key, Porzingis has been working his way back into the NBA.
Justin Jackson scoring in double figures. So when you get so many guys that can buy into a system and you have a great player, and I'm calling him that in Luka, special things can happen. But here's the thing that stood out to me. And this may, if there is going to be an Achilles heels for the Lakers, this might be it. They were outscored by 30 points from three-point range.
Mm.
The Mavs made 17. They made 7. The Lakers have to find more ways to knock down those open opportunities when they get them.
Well, the Lakers have had a bit of a cupcake schedule up to this point.
One of the easiest.
They have had one of the easiest, and it's about to get tougher. They're about to go on this little road trip. You can take a look at it. It's not going to get easier as it goes by.
Okay.
So this is what they've played so far.
Lost to the Pistons.
Fifth easiest in the league so far, and here's what they have ahead of them. It's about to get a little tricky for them because they have to go on the road and play some good teams. They play teams like the Nuggets, the Jazz, the Blazers, and then at home against the Timberwolves. Jalen, will these next four games really tell us who the Lakers are at this point in the season?
It's always tough playing at Denver with the altitude and the Joker's slowly starting to get his game together. Gary Harris had a big game the other day. Utah has not been playing the way I expected them to play this season. A little disappointed in their start, but they're always terrific at home. I think Minnesota was one of those teams that they played. Carl Anthony Towns has been balling this year. And Hassan Whiteside for the Blazers just had double-digit blocks.
Yep.
And Carmelo Anthony giving them good minutes. So that won't be a cakewalk by any stretch of the imagination, but on the road, you got to be able to make open jump shots, in particular from three. They struggled at home doing it. They're not able to do it in those four games. They could easily go 1-3.
Jalen, you just talked about the Jazz. They're a pretty good team, right? You know, they seem to be one of the top teams in the West. Well, the Raptors sent a statement to the league. The Raptors demand your attention. The national media hasn't quite caught up to this yet, but the Toronto Raptors demand your attention. They took that Jazz team on, and 130 to 110 does not express just how lopsided this particular game was. And, of course, that man, Spicy P, led the way, and Fred VanVleet did as well. What do you think about this Raptors team? When are they going to finally get the national recognition they deserve?
Well, people that follow this program understand that they do. You have a Spicy P hot sauce on your desk currently.
I just threw it away today. Got a little old.
That was my choice from most improved player at the beginning of the year last season. Mm-hmm. He was also a reason that I felt like they would win a championship against a hobbled Golden State Warriors squad. But here's something I want to throw out there. When you watch the landscape of the Eastern Conference, Pascal Siakam has been the second best player in the conference. Talk to me.
Obviously, the Greek Freak. Embiid and Simmons come to mind. But they, yeah, I think that's a no-brainer. You know, here's another thing we talk about the Eastern Conference. You know what we talk about so much? The Celtics and the Sixers. The Celtics and the Sixers. Well, guess who's got a better record than the Celtics and the Sixers? Guess who's got a better record? Who's got more wins and less losses than the Celtics and the Sixers?
Nick Nurse is doing a terrific job with that team. Just think about this. They lost Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green. What did they get in return for them?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay. Kyle Lowry is currently injured.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had 8 players in double figures.
How?
Eight.
Wait, I forgot. How many did Joel Embiid score against them?
Zero.
Zero points?
Correct.
But he didn't play?
He played.
Oh, he played? Oh, interesting.
And I want to tell you a secret into a microphone.
Secret?
Those Toronto streets are undefeated. I know everybody that lives domestically laughs when teams go to Miami and give home court advantages when you go to LA and to New York. Trust me, you know I lived there.
Jalen, I'm going to tell you something.
I participated. You know, trust me.
Sometimes your best friends need to give you some hard news. If you never played in Toronto, you would have played for like 16 years instead of 13. Toronto took like 3 years off your career. They did. They took like 3 years off your career.
And I'm happy about it. I'm happy about it.
Well, we're talking about the best teams in the NBA, and you have to mention the Los Angeles Clippers when you do so, because the Clippers, when at full strength, are absolutely terrifying. In the latest game against the Wizards, sure, it was the Wizards, but they got 34 from Kawhi and 31 from PG, and they have now won 8 of their last 9 games. Again, 8 of their last 9 games. Jalen Rose, what do you think about this red-hot Clipper team?
And also the most unique substitutions in the game, who both scored over 20, in Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell.
Mm.
Here's the distinction that I want to give people, that the difference between the Lakers and the Clippers.
Okay, explain.
The Clippers, to me, are the best team defensively on the perimeter.
Absolutely.
The Lakers are the best defensive team on the interior based on their size and their bulk. That's why that's going to be a clash of styles if and when they face one another, not only in the regular season, but in the postseason. Doc Rivers has done a terrific job bringing this roster along that made the playoffs without the two guys that you just said scored 30, and one of them won finals MVP and the other one was third in the MVP race. So it was great to see Paul George back out there healthy, putting people on skates behind the back, yep, doing layups. They scored 150 against the Wizards.
I mean, that's... Bradley Beal, someone help him. Somebody, if you know, if Bradley Beal's in your phone, send him a nice text. You know what I mean? Bradley, if you know Bradley Beal, just tell him that we care about him and we're reaching out to him. Jalen Rose, those Cowboys lost on Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm,
to the Buffalo Bills. That opened up an opportunity for the Eagles to take a stronghold over the NFC East, the worst
Eagles
division
fly in
football. Did the Eagles fly against the Dolphins?
No.
They didn't just lose to the Dolphins. They kind of got waxed by the Dolphins. And I want to give a big up to my guy, Brian Flores, because he was just doing whatever it took. He was like, you know what? We'll do anything. We'll line up this. Look at this play. Look at this. God, it was so much fun. I just love the way Brian Flores said, you know what? We're not going to make the playoffs, but we're going to have some fun and we're going to try some things doing it. What did you think about this performance from the Dolphins and the opportunity squandered by the Eagles?
Yo, seriously, when the punter's flipping to the kicker and scoring a touchdown on you, that ain't good.
No, it's not good.
And I'm not talking about record-wise. I'm not talking about whether they win a division or not. You can back into a playoff spot in that division.
Mm-hmm.
But it just shows you that whatever their goals were this year, this football team will not be able to achieve them. Because the Miami Dolphins, and I agree with you, I want to give them a lot of credit by the way they played, and Ryan Fitzpatrick,
yep,
was making plays, and Parker
looked
plays
great.
You want to always give credit to the team that wins. But the Eagles were a 14 in the third quarter. That was your chance to put this game away. When you allow the Dolphins to get back into the game and take control of the game and win and overall score 37 points, that doesn't bode well for the rest of the
season. I did watch this game and I was just like, oh, the Eagles got this. I'm going to stop paying attention to this game. And then I was looking at the scores. I'm like, wait a second, what? Like, it's one thing to lose, but it's nothing to lose like that, to just kind of like squander it the way that they did. It kind of felt like they didn't respect the Dolphins. And now they're sitting there letting the Cowboys get into the playoffs, Jalen. I really want the Cowboys to miss the playoffs. I really do.
Well, the Dolphins don't want 3 out of 5, so you ought to give them some credit. But this is where you're going to see people complaining about the fact that a division winner gets to host a playoff game.
Oh, I'm going to complain about that. I'm complaining about that right now. The Dolphins, correct, nor the Eagles, nor the Washington team deserves to host a playoff game. That should not happen. That should not happen.
What about the Cowboys? Or the Eagles, because one of them will.
No, they should not. I messed up. I meant the Cowboys, the Eagles, or the Washington team, obviously. Jalen, another team that might make the playoffs, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Quack, quack, Duck Hodges led the Steelers to a 20-13 win against who? The Cleveland Browns. The Browns had a chance to tie or maybe win the game. Squandered that. You know, this is Baker Mayfield. They got the ball back via interception. That didn't work, but Mayfield did play okay. But Jalen, here's my question. Is this the week where finally we get what I've wanted? Can we finally stop talking about the Browns?
No.
Can we finally stop talking about the Cleveland Browns?
No.
I'm so done talking about the Browns.
No.
They're not a good football team.
No.
Maybe they'll improve next year. Maybe they'll turn it around. But they're not making the playoffs. So can we just like treat them like all the other teams in the league, like the Cardinals that aren't making the playoffs?
When I was watching this game, and not to get too philosophical, this game reminded me of why I wanted all young people to play sports at one point of their lives.
Hmm.
Because sports teaches you different life skills that sometimes you don't get. Sacrifice, discipline, how to deal with adversity, how to deal with success, how to deal with failure. And these two teams embodied that for me. You know why? Because the Pittsburgh Steelers, blue collar, third string quarterback, backup running back. All they do is put their heads down, even though Pouncey suspended. We're going to wear the rock the black hoodie. We're going to represent for our brother. We're going to go out and punch them in the mouth and beat them. Mike Tomlin in the offseason, remember when they added Odell? He was like, no big deal. So now let's flip it. White collar Cleveland Browns is why we're going to be talking about them. Baker Mayfield.
Star power.
Baker Mayfield is... He went number one, but is he a star?
Is he a star?
You said it.
He had like four good games last year.
I'm just saying. Okay? We know Odell Beckham is a star, but here's the true issue to their team. Freddie Kitchens is one of the problems, but the true problem, I've been saying it all season. If you're going to elevate the Cleveland Browns based on the acquisitions this offseason, I need to see Baker Mayfield elevate his play. And that has not happened. He's been one of the worst quarterbacks in the league this season. They got weapons. They got Chubb. They got Hunt. They got OBJ. They got Landry. I could throw to those dudes.
No, you couldn't, Jalen Rose.
I could throw to those dudes.
No, you couldn't.
LeBron could throw to those dudes.
That's what they should do. They need LeBron. That's what they need. Then they really have some star power that actually produces. Do you remember last week on Monday Night Football, the Rams lost to the Ravens 45-6? Do you remember that? I was talking about Blake Bortles replacing Jared Goff. You know, I had written off the Rams, but do you know what they did this week? They waxed the Cardinals, and they look good doing it. Jalen.
Yep.
Is it time to start thinking of the Rams as a threat in the NFC?
Nah.
They won the NFC last year.
Nah. Nah, it's like a team to have a Super Bowl hangover.
They can make the playoffs.
But I want to give Jared Goff a lot of credit. Because those are gaudy numbers that he put up. Todd Gurley got close to 100 yards. But I just don't see a team that has struggled so mightily when the lights were the brightest at points of this season now all of a sudden elevating themselves to contention status in their own conference.
Let me make a case.
Okay.
Defense played really well.
They got Aaron Donald.
Defense played really well.
They got Jalen Ramsey.
They've got some players there. Like, I feel like we've seen it happen before where wild card teams make a run. We've seen it happen before. I could see it happen with these Rams. I could see it happen. I still believe in your Rams. I know no one else does. I still believe in you, Los Angeles Rams.
Okay.
It's hard to beat the Ravens.
Well, Woods was out there balling.
We'll see. I still believe in your Rams. Jalen, I'm very excited about this one. It's time for a very special soft move or boss move. You and I are both married in very serious committed relationships, but we have friends. And the way that you meet people nowadays is dating apps, right? And there's always seems to be a new one. There's always a new dating app. And there's a new dating app now called the Singularity. And each dating app always has a twist. So this one was developed by a gentleman by the name of Aaron Smith. Mm-hmm. The twist on this dating app is the only male allowed on the dating app is the person that developed it, Aaron Smith. Soft move or boss move? Developing a dating app where you're the only male on the dating app.
Soft move.
Oh, come on.
That's a soft
move. Oh, come on.
Because it's one thing for you to try to find ways to meet people and hook up or whatnot. That's cool. But if you're creating an app, you got to let other people participate. It can't all be about you.
So let me tell you why this is a boss move. This guy's got a YouTube channel. This is obviously some sort of like publicity stunt. And he's pretty good looking. I didn't know who Aaron Smith was before, but now I do. And I feel like the press that he's going to get from this are going to have a lot of ladies around the country signing up for the Singularity. This is going to work out great for him.
No.
He's going to be the busiest man in America off of this dating app.
You know.
Shout out to Aaron Smith.
You know how much I love originality. I will change something I'm doing if somebody copies it. So very well. All this is the Bachelor in reverse. This ain't new.
Reverse.
Yeah. Ain't it one bachelor and 35
yeah.
women?
Yeah.
Okay, it's one him and a million women online.
Yeah, it sounds great.
It's the same
sounds
thing.
Sounds great. Boss move.
No, sophomore.
Boss move. Another thing is this sophomore. Is Jalen. It's the effort he put into this. Like, to code?
And no
I don't know how to code anything.
No effort.
To make an app? Yo, Doug, you make an app. You design an app. Go ahead. Design an app. Learn how to code an app. I don't even know how to do that. Hey, I don't even know where you start doing
I'm
that.
I'm not great with my hands.
You spent
hands,
a lot of times
man.
On this.
I'm not great with my hands.
I want to see you code something. Code anything. Anything in the world. So much happened over the weekend in sports that we can't get to it all. So we have a segment tailor-made for you, my friend, called Keep It Moving.
Keep it moving, you know we keep it moving.
In the minivan, keep it moving. Are you ready, Mr. Rose?
Let's get it.
Auburn won a classic Iron Ball Bowl against Alabama. Keep moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes.
Are we hit the brakes on this? What a game it was. The Tigers beat the Tide 48-45 in a back-and-forth classic. Nick Saban was a little upset about the officiating. Some clockwork at the end of the first half, and a too many men on the field call that cost him ultimately the game. Do you think he's justified in his criticism of the officials?
So a couple of things happened that really surprised me watching Alabama in both of their losses. First off, giving up way too many points. I'm not used to seeing that.
Mm.
The other thing, so many penalties against Auburn. And lastly, can we say Gus Malzahn and the Auburn coaching staff out-coach Nick Saban.
Yeah, we can say that.
That fourth and one, that was brilliant. That was brilliant. Don't be upset at the refs. Don't be upset at your team. They got you on that one. And that's a rival, and you just got to own it. He's still a GOAT, but Auburn gets the credit.
I remember watching the end of the half, and I was like, this seems to be an interesting piece of clockwork from the home clock manager there, but whatever. Jalen Rose, that was also another big game on Saturday. It was an earlier game. It was in what they call the Big House.
Hit the brakes.
Michigan.
I ain't running. Hit the brakes. Hit the brakes.
You didn't just lose,
hit
though.
The brakes.
Y'all didn't just lose,
hit
though.
The brakes.
Jalen.
What?
What happened to your Wolverines?
So let me just acknowledge something. And I'm going to be 1,000.
Uh-oh.
Usually when you play against your rival,
mm-hmm.
they're not one of the teams that has helped transcend collegiate football over the past 15 years. Think about these names. Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, Dabo Sweeney have all been in the conversation yearly of who has the best football team in the country.
Okay. None of those people were involved in the game on Saturday.
So I want to make sure I give credit to the Ohio State University and put some respect on their name for waxing us.
J.K. Dobbins is still running around that stadium right now. He's still running around that stadium untouched.
Well, correct. He had four touchdowns.
Yes.
The quarterback threw for four touchdowns. He got injured, came back in with a knee brace, and threw a sweet touchdown if you're a Buckeye fan.
Football team lost. But the basketball team played some games over the weekend. Keep it moving or hit the brakes on that.
Hit the brakes.
We'll hit the brakes on this one because not only did Michigan defeat Gonzaga, before that, they beat UNC.
Big note.
Who is the coach of the Michigan Wolverines basketball team?
The guy with this bobblehead right here, Juwan Howard. The thing I appreciate is when you take over for somebody that was as successful as John Beilein, everybody knows this could go a couple of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of the players that were holdovers from a coach who had a different style. And it probably everybody has a different way of communicating, how they want to go about doing things. So for him to hire the staff that he hired, had the level of autonomy to earn the respect of his team, get his team to play hard every day in practice, and then you go to that tournament, you were supposed to be an afterthought.
Yeah.
Okay, so the consolation game, Oregon and UNC on paper, that was supposed to be the championship game.
yep.
Okay, so for you to go show up and be unranked and now deserve to be in the top 10, and it doesn't get any easier because they play a Louisville as well. So I appreciate the experience that the team is getting very early, and I'm proud of the squad.
If I'm a high school prospect, and I see this team not only win on the floor, but I see this after the game, because Juwan, the best thing that he did all weekend was win these games. It was the Cabbage Patch celebration. The Cabbage Patch. Just like when he was your teammate. If I'm in high school, I'm playing for this team. I'm playing for this team. I am.
You got footage of him doing that with the Miami Heat when they won the championship, too. You got to get that up there. And the thing I appreciate about Juwan, though, like, he's a terrific leader. And he's gotten his team to buy in. And this is going to be an exciting season to watch.
Conor McGregor will return to the octagon in early 2020. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
Keep it moving for now.
All right, we'll keep it moving.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
We have a LaMelo Ball update.
Hit the brakes.
Okay, my guy, my number one pick, LaMelo Ball, has had back-to-back triple-doubles against grown men in Australia. Now,
ooh.
Critics will say that he shoots 25% from three and 37.5% from the floor. Does that deter you from thinking he's the number one pick in the NBA draft?
No. It doesn't deter me because one thing you didn't mention is probably the thing that I love the most. That he's 6'7".
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like the most. And you see his court vision is awesome.
Yep.
But I appreciate the way he passes people open. That's how you get dimes, anticipation. And when I watch him play in an era of workout warriors, you could tell players like him and John Morant come to mind as guys that I could tell Dame Lillard that just played a lot of basketball growing up.
I love when you say this about people. That guy plays a lot of basketball.
Yeah.
You're watching John Morant, you're like, that guy plays a lot of basketball.
5-on-5, 3-on-3, 1-on-1.
Oh, yeah, LaMelo was in the Drew League all summer. He plays a lot of basketball,
correct,
that guy.
Exactly.
There's video of him working out at 3 in the morning. I'm like, dog, get a good night's sleep. Work out 7 in the morning, it's all the same. Moving on. The Packers beat the Giants. Keep moving or hit the brakes?
Keep it moving.
We'll keep moving on that one.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Jalen, something happened in the NFL yesterday that has not happened all season long. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes.
You'll never believe this. The Bengals won a football game.
I did this for you.
They won a football game. Now, I have said this all year long that we do not disrespect the Bengals enough. The Jets disrespected the Bengals by this performance. Like, if you're the Jets, you gotta win this game. And not only did they lose, they got beat bad by the Bengals. And the Bengals are like, they looked around the league, they're like, alright, everyone else got two wins. They're like, you know what? We'll get one win and we'll still get the number one pick. But, is the Gatorade bath at the end a soft move or a boss move?
That's a boss move. You gotta celebrate everybody's hard work.
People don't celebrate enough. Hey, Jalen, we have a competition for Jalen of the Week. There are so many Jalens in sports now that we have two candidates for Jalen of the Week this week. The first, Jalen Waddle. While Alabama lost in the Iron Bowl, it had nothing to do with his performance. He caught for 3 touchdowns and ran back a kick for a touchdown. That's one candidate for Jalen of the Week. But not to be outdone is this man, Jalen Hurts, who threw for a touchdown, ran for a touchdown, as you see right there, and caught a touchdown in a win over rival Oklahoma State. Jalen Rose,
yes,
who is the Jalen of the Week? Jalen Waddle, Jalen Hurts.
I appreciate, as always, the Jalen's showing versatility that's unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a quarterback catching one, a receiver catching 3, running a kickoff back for 1. And you know how much I love kickoffs. He ran a punt back recently. By the way, Jalen Waddle, when he come out a year or so from now, he's going to be a candidate to be the number one receiver taken.
Really?
Remember I said this on this program.
He proved it on Saturday.
As it relates to Jalen Hurts. Now, going to Oklahoma, following a couple Heisman Trophy winners, we talk so much about so many people, Trevor Lawrence, so many quarterbacks. He's going to be in New York City. He's got a great chance of winning this year's Heisman. He won the game. Waddle lost, but Waddle had 4 touchdowns.
Thank you.
He gets the nod.
Clearly, it's Jalen Waddle. I mean, it's not, again, I always say it's not what you do, it's how you do it. He had a couple of those catches for touchdowns.
Mm.
It was like, they were just the quarterback's just like, yeah, Jalen Waddle's out there. This will work.
And you know how much I love kickoff returns.
I know you do. Too bad they're going to be phased out of football in about 4 years. I guarantee it. So, we have a really big game on Monday night this week. A really big game. The Minnesota Vikings, who you and I have been, we've been saying they're one of the best teams in the NFC.
They slept on.
Everyone else is starting to catch up to that. They're 8-3, but they're playing in Seattle against the Seahawks without Adam Thielen. Jalen Rose, how can the Vikings pull off an upset in Seattle?
Let me make sure I say this into a microphone. Kirk Cousins has been having a better season than Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady.
That's fair. That's fair. He had a couple bumps in the road along there, but Aaron Rodgers has as well. We remember that game in L.A. against the Chargers.
Yeah, exactly. No Thielen tonight for the Vikings, but Clowney returns for Seattle. And they're playing at home. Russell Wilson, he saw what Lamar did yesterday. He saw what Mahomes did yesterday. He saw what Watson did yesterday. And it's the big stage. I'm going with him at home and the Seahawks.
I think the Seahawks are going to win. The only way the Vikings can win is a huge day from Dalvin Cook. Just a huge day from Dalvin Cook.
If
they can get a lead and then they can just work Dalvin Cook and just somehow sort of like turn this into a two-score game early, I think that's the only way that the Vikings do it. But Seahawks are making a case right now. The Seahawks are really making a case. They really are, especially after that game against San Francisco. This is going to be one of the best Monday Night Football. I might stay up for the whole thing, Jay. I might stay up for the fourth quarter.
Wow.
I might drink a cup of coffee at halftime.
Whoa.
Just try to get there.
Wow.
I want to thank everybody that calls in 985-80-JALEN. Make sure you call that number. Leave us a voicemail for the pod exclusive. We're going to talk about some things that won't be part of the television show. One of those is this. There's a food critic that works for the Washington Post. Washington Post is a respected journalistic endeavor, unlike this one. This food critic put up a picture of the restaurant that he was covering. No big deal, right?
Uh-huh.
In the background of that picture, young lady saw the picture and said, "That's my husband dining with another woman."
Oh. Oh.
Your thoughts on discovering that your husband is having an affair via a picture from a food critic on the Washington Post.
Well, this is what I learned a long time ago. Just because you see two people of the opposite sexes sitting at a table, that don't mean that they're on a date.
No, disagree there.
You do?
I disagree there. No, I will have dinner with my friend Juliet, right? I will. But if my wife saw a picture of me and Juliet having dinner, she'll be like, "Oh, that's Juliet." She won't see a picture of me having dinner with someone that is of the female persuasion. Dinner, not lunch. Dinner. She's like, "Oh, I don't know who that is."
So if you want to go a step deeper, just because she knows the person, that don't mean y'all couldn't be having an affair.
I'm just saying.
So that logic doesn't even make sense.
Jalen.
So how do we know? No, I'm being serious. How many times?
Because people dine together does not mean they're sleeping together. That's fair to say. Okay, of course. That's a given. But it's not that simple. It's not binary. It's not black or white. I feel like if my wife saw a picture of me with someone I've never spoken about before, and we were at dinner at a nice restaurant, because to get covered by the New York Post, to get reviewed, like that's a $300 meal at least right there. At a nice restaurant, and she's all dressed up, and I look like I'm really into the conversation, I'm in trouble.
No,
I'm Jacob. In trouble.
No, Jacob.
And vice versa.
No.
Vice versa.
No, we see this way different.
All right. Okay.
We see this way different. You sound like the same gentleman that was talking about having a first date at the house and going to the bedroom. You're the same guy. Once they get to the apartment or the house, the living room and the kitchen and the master bedroom.
Let's get back to the topic at hand.
It's the exact same thing. That is the topic. I'm just showing you how that thinking is just a little outdated. All right, let me give you a different way to think of it. How many times have you, in the last 2 months?
Okay, 2 months.
2 months. Been out in public with a woman or more that wasn't your wife?
Tons.
Okay. What's the answer? Tons.
Tons.
Okay.
But those are...
That makes my point.
Group environments. You know what I mean? At a bar or like a party. You know what I mean? Where it's a group setting and we're all hanging out, chatting, and I'm with a group of like 8 people.
Jacoby.
Or a double date.
Oh my goodness. Jacoby, that's normal.
Let me ask you a question.
No, let me finish.
Go ahead.
Jacoby, just because you're in a group environment, normally that's the cover up. The group environment is the cover up. Whereas 10 of us, but two of us know what's really good.
How many times since you've been married have you had a one-on-one dinner with a female? Period. Full stop.
One-on-one dinner with a female that was not my wife.
That she didn't know. Let's just say that. It wasn't like, oh, my producer, you know, Lisa or Amina or something like that.
Well, you got to think about this. I'm a professional.
Yeah.
Show is she.
Very professional.
So there are times where I am meeting with people.
No, I know, but that's not an answer to my question.
No, I'm about to ask.
Not an answer to my question.
There is times where I'm meeting with people that happen to be women about professional circumstances that she has never met.
Over 90-minute dinners at nice restaurants?
I always eat at nice places.
But you're not answering my question. The answer is no.
That's not.
The answer to the question is no.
I didn't say no.
I know you didn't say no.
The answer is yes.
You just didn't answer the question. Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, you go to nice restaurants, 90-minute dinners?
Every time I go.
One-on-one with a female? You're doing that?
Jacoby.
I'm about to get you in trouble.
When the last time you've been to a restaurant that wasn't nice?
Huh? All the time.
No, you don't?
Yeah, man. We went to a fast food chicken spot recently, last week.
You said a key word earlier today. Just 5 minutes ago, you said bar.
Mm-hmm.
That's the line of demarcation right there. Bar. Which means if you're there, it's a pretty nice place.
Wait, Jalen, you're making less sense today than normal. A bar, because it's a bar, it's a nice place. You know, I like dive bars that have golden tea. There's no one there. That's the kind of bar I like to go to. You talk about lounges. We're not in Vegas.
Let me see what the IG Interactive people think about
this. Oh, because you're trying to avoid the question. You know you haven't had a 90-minute dinner.
Jacoby be trying to get me set up.
You have not had a 90-minute dinner with a woman that your wife doesn't know since you've been married. I promise you, I know that. I know you. I know what you do every day.
You're trying to
argue your side, but you just don't want to. You don't want to get the facts get in the way of your side.
Here's what I just want you to understand: just because that gentleman was at a restaurant and it happened to be a nice place, that don't mean he was cheating on his significant other.
It doesn't mean that. You're absolutely right.
That's what I'm saying.
She saw a picture in the Washington Post of two people having dinner. It's not a sex tape in his phone.
Correct.
Fair. I don't disagree with you on that one. But I'll tell you this. If my wife saw that, I would have some very pointed questions to answer when I got home. And vice versa. If I saw her in a nice restaurant that I didn't know about, and it was like I knew that it was shot the last couple of weeks, and she never told me about a dinner that she had with some dude, and then like it was all came out of nowhere. I would have a line of questions when she got home that would be very directed.
You and I both know your wife, just like mine, works in a professional environment.
Yeah.
There have been times that she's had dinners.
Tons of dinners. She has dinners
with men when you weren't there.
She has dinners with dudes all the time.
Okay.
Her gay friends. All the time. It happens all the time. She had dinner with Chris last week. It happens all the time.
Oh boy.
But if it was like some smooth looking dude, it looked like he was like 30.
I can tell he's paying for it. It's a nice restaurant.
See, that, no problem.
See, you went down. You went where I wanted you to go.
Yeah, you're welcome.
See, what ends up happening is if the person that is being seen or saw happens to be with somebody that the world doesn't consider, I guess, attractive. Like you said, he got to be 30 and smooth.
He looks great.
Right. So if he looks 30 and smooth, then you feel threat. But if he was the opposite, then you wouldn't.
No, that's not fair. I can feel threatened by anybody. You know, I'm weak-minded. You know that about me.
No, you're not.
But you just won't admit that you're not going on one-on-one dinners with ladies that your wife doesn't know. You're not doing that. You know, I feel like it's a fair thing. My question is more like, is it an invasion of this person's privacy? Like, are you allowed to just put me in the paper when I'm just out having dinner? Like, I didn't sign anything. There's no notice at the front of the door that says, just by being in this restaurant, you might end up in the New York Post or the Washington Post. That's my question for you. Is this an invasion of this man's privacy?
Yes.
That's what I feel like. I feel like you got a blur of the face in the background.
This is why, if to me, you see a public figure and you want to take a picture of them or with them, you should just ask them.
Hold on. There's something I need to explain to you. You live your life through your lens, your view.
All of us do.
Yeah, I know.
What are you talking about?
Do you know a public figure represents 0.00000001% of the population, right? Do you know what the other 99.999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999
whack, Reg. I can't even concentrate so whack.
Not the music. Not so bad.
So, but here's the thing. As a public figure, you're expected to, I guess, if somebody was to take your picture or something like that, it kind of comes with the territory. If this person isn't that, plus they're getting put in the paper, that's a definite violation of their privacy to me.
I feel like if you ever see, like, when you're about to go into a restaurant or something, it says, like, oh, we're filming inside. Like, notice you might be filming something. I always, like, I'm going to pause for a second. I'm like, wait, what are you saying? Like, did I sign something just now by walking in this door?
I'm going to give you another way to think of this that everybody can relate to. You don't even have to be a public figure. Sometimes when you get in that Lyft, when you get in that Uber, you're being recorded. Pay attention to the windshield. There's a camera up there. It could be video, but it's definitely audio. Anything you say can and will be used against you. Is that an invasion of privacy?
I feel like there should be a policy. Yeah, I mean, there should be a policy that in the Uber agrees. No one ever looks at the terms and conditions on anything. You've never looked at the Uber terms and conditions.
Everybody did put yes.
No one's ever done
paragraphs.
You can put anything.
Yes.
You could be like
yes.
Every one of your children that I belong to this company. Like, you can write anything in there. Like, honestly, it's not fair. It's really not fair. Like, people just sign contracts without reading them every single time I sign up for any sort of service online or on my phone. No one reads it.
Do you want this app to be a paragraph? You just yes.
It's not gonna
I agree.
Like, on a contract,
I agree.
On another type of contract, like a contract for employment, you can, like, I'll read it and be like, hey, well, what about this? Can we change that? There's no back and forth. It's like you either agree to these terms and conditions or you don't use the service. So if I want to use service, I have to click whatever. And I don't know what it says in there, but what it should say in there is what is recorded of you in the car could only be used in, like, the court of law. That's what I want to see. Like, you can only use this in the court of law. It cannot be distributed in any other way, shape, or form. I don't want to be on a viral video because I puked in an Uber or something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be on a viral video because, like, a rock came flying through the window. Like, I just don't feel like those Uber drivers should have the rights to that content as photographers.
My point exactly.
But do you know if they do? I don't know. I don't look.
They do.
Do you know that? You're just guessing.
I'm not guessing. I know how to look up at a windshield, and I know what a camera looks like. And at that point, it's no different than somebody having a cell phone.
But you also know that you need someone's permission to distribute their likeness.
Oh, you need permission to put something online now? Is that where we going?
You're supposed to. I worked in this business 20 years. You're supposed to. If I put you on ESPN, you're supposed to sign some sort of, agreement. Yeah, just supposed to. I'm also 99% of the time, I just, like, let it slide.
So you're an Uber driver. A couple gets in your vehicle. Start making out in the back. You can do whatever you want with that footage.
You're guessing. You don't know that.
Yes, you can.
You're guessing. But I think you're right, but I know you're guessing.
I think there's
enough Uber drivers to listen to this podcast.
Because it works both ways.
Call 985-80-JALEN and let us know what the real rules are with your employer, because we're guessing. But I'm assuming that if someone has sex in the back of your car, which I'm sure has happened a million times to Uber drivers, and you have that footage, you're not allowed to distribute that footage.
All right, let me give you a different way to think of it. Somebody gets in your car. They're upset at you. For whatever reason. You didn't take the wrong route. You're not driving fast enough. They're really rude to you. Mean to you. Cursing at you. Disrespecting you. What do you think that Uber driver does with that footage?
One second. Yeah, what do they do with the footage? They're much happier to put that out. And I bet there's Uber drivers right now with YouTube channels of just people in the back of their car. I'm sure there's Uber drivers, Reg. I'm sure there's Uber drivers with just people cursing.
Somebody said it's going up on the hub.
I don't even know what that means.
Uber hub. When you look down at your app. Because think about it. You get rated. You get rated. So you're being.
That seems fair.
Correct. You're being judged every time you get in and out of the vehicle. You could be a great. Like, I look down at my rate and I'm like, there's no reason why I shouldn't have a 5-star rate.
I always feel that way too.
There's no reason I should not have a 5-star rating. Oh,
so let me tell you a quick story of something that's just really, it's really tragic. You know what? I'm generous. You know what I mean? This guy was over at my house and it was when we lived in LA and he was intoxicated. And I said, you know what? You can't drive. I can't allow that. What's your address? Got him an Uber. Got a call about 20 minutes later. He's like, we got a problem. Like, I got into an argument with the Uber driver and I was like, dog.
On your rating.
I'm not. First of all, I could have saved your life. Second of all, I paid for your ride home, took over, and then you're gonna call and apologize. Don't even say nothing. Just don't say anything.
But you know, people really misbehave when they're on somebody else's tab. I noticed that. It's like when you go to a restaurant with somebody know you treating. They ordering appetizers, salads, extra drinks.
Can I get this to go?
Yeah, absolutely. But that's a lesson that I want everybody to pay attention to. You work really hard to put yourself in position to be successful. But sometimes, unfortunately, your family and friends spend your money before you even get it.
Whenever we're in an Uber and we start talking about something, whether it's work or personal or whatever, Jalen always points at the camera. It's like, all right, so now we can't talk about nothing.
Ain't talking about nothing.
Sit here. Now we just gotta sit here.
Yeah.
Because people really wanna listen to David Jacoby complain about his kids. You know what I mean? I'll be talking about Quincy and you're like, yo, camera. I'm like, no, like, hey, what man. Am I supposed to talk about?
Them drivers be ear hustling.
Can we talk about Luca? You know what I mean? Can we talk about Luca at least?
How about
can
this?
Can we talk about LaMelo Ball?
How about this? You sitting in the back of the car. The music is on. You ask the driver what station you want to put it on and everything. Soon as you get on the phone, turn the music down. And I asked you to turn the music down?
I think they're just trying to be generous so you can listen to your phone conversation.
Or no, they're trying to be generous so they can listen to my phone conversation.
See, regular folks like me, they don't care. They don't care what we're talking about. They really don't care. Whatsoever.
They be ear hustling.
Jalen.
But I will say, as a faithful Uber driver,
you're not
rider. As a faithful Uber rider, 100% safe trips. And that's all that matter.
Yeah.
I've gotten from point A to point B a million times safely.
Well, here's the thing. Here's one thing that I want to, there's like a, one thing that you can think what it's like. You can have an idea what it's like, but you will never know what it's really, really like. There's a big gender difference there. You know what I mean? Like, there's a big gender difference there. Like, I think when a female gets in an Uber, there's a different experience than when a male gets in an Uber. Because they're mainly male drivers, let's be honest about it. Like, I know it's not 100% male drivers.
Right.
But mainly. And I feel like that safe ride thing means a lot more to the women of the world than the men. You know what I mean?
We take it for granted.
Yes. I think we take it for granted. It's just like, oh, I'm just going to get in here and sit down. No big deal. I don't want to talk to this guy. So I just answer a couple questions really shortly and he stops talking and we keep moving. But sometimes I think it gets a little, it's a different vibe for the females. And my female friends have told me about that. Like, oh, they'll come out, you know, buzz my buzzer, come in the house and be like, yo, this Uber driver, la, la, la. And it's like, man, that happens a lot more to you than it does to me. You know? Big shout to Uber. Up my rating. What's your rating right now? Look at it. You know what your rating is?
I don't know what my rating is.
Do you know how to look at
five,
it?
5, I'm disappointed. Show me how.
It's not. Oh, man, you don't know how?
Yeah. Shout King Manny, 313.
This.
What up, though? Private low.
It's hard. They make it hard. Oh no, ratings right there.
Mr. BAU.
Click yours. Just click yours. It'll be right there. Click profile. I'm 475. I'm like, wait, I'm only 25 points.
Right.
That's wait, unacceptable. Wait, what did I not do? That's what did I not do? What did I not do? I'm 475. You click on the upper left, those three lines.
All right.
See, I just saw the tip thing come up and Jalen just gave the guy a good tip. That's what Jalen does.
Yeah.
Appreciate you. Upper left, those three lines. Right underneath the profile. What you got?
My trips?
No, duck.
The top, right underneath the name.
Oh, I see it. 4.86.
Yes, that's good.
No, it should be 5.
You're probably just snoring in a couple of them. Jalen.
What up, Dell?
First game on Thanksgiving. It's a Lions against the Bears.
Yeah.
I thought this was winnable. I really thought it was winnable. I'm looking at the Bears, Mitchell Trubisky. Y'all made Mitchell Trubisky look like a real quarterback. Like, come on, man.
You ready for this? How many wins do the Dolphins have?
Four? Three?
Three. How many wins do the Lions have?
But they got a tie, though. They got that tie. They got that tie.
So let me tell you what I was thinking when I was watching. Ohio State waxed my Wolverines on Saturday.
Started out okay for the Wolverines.
No, it didn't. We missed the extra point. As soon as that, I was like, again, I want to make sure I do this on the pod too. I want to bow down and pay homage to the greatness of the Ohio State University. It's one thing to have a rival. It's another thing when you're the nail and they're the hammer. And that's, and I have to admit that, you know, the first part of any therapy is to admit something.
Oh, okay.
Like Royce talked to us about that. You have to admit that you have an issue. You have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I have a problem. We have a problem.
Yeah, y'all got a problem.
Ohio State University. They own us.
They do.
They own us.
They do.
But there could be some light at the end of the tunnel for Michiganders.
What's that?
Chase Young will look really good in the Lions uniform.
Oh, I don't know. So wait, if the Lions, where do you think the Lions end up picking now?
Top two,
like,
or
that's
three?
That's where y'all at? No.
We only got three wins. People sleeping on that. When you talk about bad teams, I'm watching Cincinnati win. I'm like,
they're not going to win another game.
I'm watching the Dolphins win. I'm like, we right in that mix. We only got three wins.
That's disgusting. That's disgusting. That's disgusting.
Yeah, we got three wins.
Giants, Bengals,
Dolphins, and us.
What's the Washington team got? Four?
They have three or four, too.
They got three. So, you know, there's a quarterback out there for you.
Chase Young.
There's a quarterback out there for you.
Tua.
Tua could slide.
It'd be nice if we get Tua.
Tua could slide.
You don't have to rush him. Well, you don't have to rush him because we got Matthew Stafford.
What about my guy Trev?
I want Tua. I need some mobility. In today's game, watching all of these guys come to town, Lamar Jacksons and Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilsons and Aaron Rodgers. I need dual threat.
I don't know. Jalen.
Deshaun Watson.
Some other things happened. Cowboys lost. They didn't just lose. Bills look good. The Bills look good. You know what the Bills look like to me? They're just like they're a B at everything. Like, you know when you used to play video games? It was just like this dude was just like a 90 at everything. That's what the Bills look like to me. Like,
oh,
they're pretty good at everything.
Josh Allen. Run and throw.
Looking good. He's looking good.
He falls into that category too.
They're slept on. They can creep up on the Patriots. I could see him creeping up on the Patriots in the division. They play in week 16. I could see that being a big game.
Physical smash mouth defense. I got them in fantasy. 15 points this week.
Oh, yeah.
They be balling.
They do. Nothing to happen on that Thursday slate that we didn't get to talk about because we didn't have a show on Friday. Saints.
Go march in.
NFC got six teams. Like, let's just say NFC teams that could end up in the Super Bowl. Playing tonight, we got the Vikings and the Seahawks.
Thank you for mentioning Minnesota.
Of course. They're playing tonight. You got the Saints. Okay. And then there's, the 49ers. Packers. Trying to think of a six. Rams? No.
Not Rams.
There's some, every time we make a list, we leave out somebody. I'm leaving out somebody.
No, you pretty much nailed it.
That's pretty much. There's five teams.
Because you normally leave out Minnesota.
No, Minnesota deserves being there. It's gonna be tough for them tonight with Thielen out on a road.
Yeah, that's gonna be tough. When they get healthy,
that's gonna be tough.
They're gonna be in the conversation. Clowney returns tonight.
Mm-hmm. Jalen, I want to talk to you about something. 76ers underwhelming.
Yeah,
that's my pick to represent the Eastern Conference in the finals. On paper, they look so good. What's going on there?
They are built as a playoff team, but they need to play a marathon regular season called 82 games.
Mm.
They have the height. They have the bulk.
The height, the bulk. They got all that.
They are a half-court team. But in the regular season, your weaknesses get exposed. That's why I appreciate the marathon. And I'm glad you just made me think of something. I gotta teach everybody something and watch sports. The best team, the best player doesn't always win the championship.
Of course.
What has happened now is we dumb down everybody's achievements and only count rings. We forget about the marathon, the regular season. And Philadelphia is a perfect example of that, Jacoby, because when I start talking about the best, I need to see somebody bring it like Giannis in the regular season and bring it in the playoffs. James Harden, bring it in the regular season. I hope he bring it in the playoffs this year. That normally determined who ultimately ended up being the greatest. You see what I'm saying? Being the greatest is an endurance test as well as, you know, about your accomplishments. So Philadelphia is built better for the playoffs than they will be for the regular season. Not much of a 3-point shooting team. So don't be surprised if they're third or fourth in their own conference.
I want to make sure that all ladies listening to this podcast right now, make sure you call 985-80-JALEN. We're taking exclusively female voicemails as we always do on Wednesday. Thank you so much for listening to Jalen Jacoby. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be right back.